Good morning, church. What a great joy it is to welcome you as we come together this day to celebrate gifts and blessings from Almighty God. As the rains watered and nurtured the earth last night, indeed may God's Spirit nurture and water our spirits this day as we come as faithful servants to worship and to celebrate what God has given to us. And as we do so, may the peace of Christ be with you. Let us rise and pass the peace of Christ to our neighbors.
Good morning. As you make your way back to the seats, I offer a very, very warm welcome to all of you today. And especially if you're visiting with us today, we want to thank you for coming and hope that you will find your church home here. At the end of each pew, there is a red pamphlet. We would like you to sign your attendance there. And if you are visiting with us, there is a welcome packet on the shepherd's hook that is in the narthex. Please pick one of those up before you leave. In our moments of informality, we have an announcement by Reverend Lake.
I want to invite you all to a Wednesday evening meeting at 7 o'clock. Reverend John Wilson will be here from our conference center. John wears a couple hats. He's a part-time pastor in our conference. He's our conference secretary, and he handles all the numbers and the statistics. He has a program that deals with the census in our areas. It's updated every 6 months. It's not just an every 10-year program. He will be here. I've been in communication with him of adjusting some maps for our area, about a 9-minute drive around our community, and that will be the area that we'll be looking at to determine the statistics of our area and who's out there, and then to look at potential ministries, new and those reactivated from days past, perhaps, that will meet the needs of individuals within the church and those outside of the walls. So that's this Wednesday evening, and then in 2 weeks, on a Tuesday in October, Amy will be with us. She will be taking those statistics as well, and brainstorming with us as to what types of ministries to do. So we'll have a couple weeks of time of prayer and discernment, and then we'll meet together and see where God is leading us and what we're going to do in the life of the church. So you're all welcome to come those next couple weeks. Continue to watch your bulletin, but this Wednesday, 7 o'clock, we're going to meet up in the youth room where the Saturday night service is, because they've got that big high-definition TV, and everything will look well on the screen for us.
Thank you. Please look in your bulletin to see what's happening at our church this week. I want to bring to your attention something that's going to be today in Murraysville. There's going to be a celebration, the district celebration of ministry. It's when we meet and greet our new clergy that have been reassigned this year. If you have the afternoon free, people would be happy to see you there. That is at the Murraysville Holiday Park United Methodist Church. Also, remember that the Dart Ball League will be starting tomorrow. If you haven't signed up for that and you have a desire to do that, please contact Alan. His number is in the bulletin. Also, we're going to be having a craft show in November. All you who are crafty, let's get busy and see if we can get those nice items in for our craft show. Please take time to look at the bulletin to see if there's anything where you can become part of the ministry of the church. Are there any further announcements from anyone? There being none, let's prepare our hearts to worship our Lord. Thank you. I ask you to please stand for our call to worship, then remain standing during the unison prayer in our hymn of praise. Who is wise and understanding among us? Those do not follow the advice of the wicked, or take the path that sinners tread. Those who do not sit in the seat of scoffers. Our delight is in the teachings of the Holy One, meditating day and night on the Word of God.
And as we draw near to God, God draws near to us.
God of wisdom and grace, you call us to be servants to all and to welcome strangers and children in your name. You call us to be men and women of valor and to do what is right and worthy. With that thought of reward, help us to delight in your word and to give in your peace, that we may be known as your people. Amen.
You coming up? And how are you two young ladies today? Good. I think there's some more coming. I see them. Here they come. Brum, 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 ba, bum. Brum, 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 ba, bum. There you go. You can walk very, 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 very quickly today. Good morning to you two. How are you?
Good.
Is school going well?
Yes.
Are you still at home with Mom?
No.
No? See, are you in kindergarten?
No.
No? Not yet. Preschool?
Yes.
Yes. First grade?
Yes.
All day? And you? What grade? Kindergarten?
Second.
You're the oldest girl in school here today. Cool. I remember kindergarten and first grade and second grade. So I have this bulletin here because who's that guy we talk about when we're in church? Jesus. Oh, how could I forget him, huh? I'm being silly. So this story, Jesus has a little boy or a little girl with him. Is that a good thing?
Yes.
Yes. And, you know, back when Jesus was older, children were not to be heard or seen. They were kept in the background quietly. Weren't allowed to jump around and play and have fun. Not at least when certain people were around. And so the disciples were keeping the children away from Jesus because they didn't think Jesus wanted them around him. But what did he say?
He wanted them
and said, let the kids come to me. And so here we have a picture with Jesus holding a little child. Could be a boy or a girl, yes. Sitting on his lap and Jesus giving him lovin's and snuggles and hugs, yes. So we need to remember all the time, Jesus welcomes everyone. Doesn't matter whether we're a teeny, tiny, just born baby or somebody that's 124 years old, we're all welcome in the presence of Jesus. Do you know any 124-year-olds?
No.
Me neither. No. About 104 is the oldest I've met before. Yes. So, all right, remember, Jesus loves you and we're always welcome in his presence. Let's bow for prayer. Lord God, for these boys and girls, we are grateful. And it is good to know that we are allowed to be in your presence, that you want us and that you love us. So continue to bless these boys and girls as they live and grow for you. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Oh.
Thank you, choir, for the beautiful song. Our scripture reading today is taken from the book of James, where he gives caution to the new Christians about what they should do and what they shouldn't do to be followers of Christ, advice that is still good for us today. Who is wise and understanding among you? Show by your good life that your works are done with gentleness, born of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not be boastful and false to the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, devilish. For where there is envy and selfish ambition, there will also be disorder and wickedness of every kind. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without a trace of partiality or hypocrisy. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace for those who will make peace. Those conflicts and disputes among you, where do they come from? Do they not come from your cravings that are at war within you? You want something and you do not have it, so you commit murder. And you covet something that you cannot obtain, so you engage in disputes and conflicts. You do not have it because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly. In order to spend what you get it on your own pleasures. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and God will draw near to you. Will the ushers please come forward for our tithes and our offerings to God? God, you faithfully uphold and guide us through times of difficulty and uncertainty. You show us steadfast love. Thank you for your kindness that we have received through your church. Lead us to grow in gratitude so that we will gladly share our gifts. Bless these offerings to sustain our mission to those in need in our community. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Please be seated. If you turn in the worship folder to the end of the worship service, you will see that a few individuals there are listed having lost family members. Elvira and her family and the death of her husband, Michael. He died Friday, September 11th. And also Kathy and her family and the death of her father, Richard Wagner, last weekend. At the early service, Don said that he lost his sister last evening, Lois Laxel, Punxsutawney. And so we'll want to remember those individuals who are grieving loss of loved ones. I have here Josie, a seventh grader from Ingomar United Methodist Church, was operated on for a brain tumor on Friday. The MRI confirmed that all was removed, but they're now waiting for a biopsy and is in a lot of pain. Prayers for her complete healing. And Bob, Patty's father, we want to remember as well. So these individuals, in addition to those that are on our prayer list this morning, and those situations that are near and dear to our hearts that just for various reasons at this time cannot be made public, and then all of those situations when we turn on the news and read about and hear about, to pray for God's peace, presence, and guidance. So let us unite our hearts and our spirits now in our prayer hymn number 462, 'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus. Gracious and loving God, we come into your presence this day because we seek to try to trust in Jesus. Some days, O God, we admit are better than others. Sometimes we place our full 100% trust in you. In other days, we give it and take it back. Because we just admit, O God, there are times that we think we know better. Or our humanness, our selfishness gets in the way and we at least know what we want, even if it's not what's best. And so we ask and pray, O God, that we will continually keep our hearts, minds, and spirits open to you, to the leadings and guidings of your Spirit, your Holy Spirit, your Son, Jesus Christ, that we might learn to trust and to lean upon you, that we might be like a tree that is planted by your life-giving streams of water, that we might be nurtured by your presence, deeply rooted within your words and your wisdom. Oh God, we know that life is a process. And some days we proceed very, very well as your children, as your church, as your followers and disciples. And other days, oh God, when that day comes to a close, we just want to hide because we've not done well. But oh, how grateful we are for your grace and your forgiveness that wipes away our past to where it is remembered no more. And what a good news it is, O God, to know that there is nothing on this earth or anywhere that can separate us from your great love, a love that hangs on to us and will not let us go. O God, for the gifts and the blessings that you shower upon us, for your faithfulness in our lives, we are forever indebted to you. O God, we pray that you will continue to bless us and strengthen us in our mission and ministry to be faithful servants of Jesus Christ, to allow his presence, his joy, his love to radiate forth from within us that we might celebrate the gifts and blessings from you, that we might celebrate his life, and yes, even his death and his glorious resurrection, because that is what has changed the world forever. Oh God, we pray for those individuals and those situations, known and unknown, those prayer concerns that we voiced this day. O God, work wonders in the lives of your people for healing, for comfort, for peace. For we pray for the guiding and the directing of your Spirit in the lives of others, in our own lives, that we might be your faithful servants to the world. For this, O God, we ask and pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, and pray together as we are united in the prayer that he's given us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Hear now and hear these words of Scripture that come to us from the Old Testament book of Psalm, chapter 1, words that the choir has already sung for us as well. Happy are those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or take the path that sinners tread, or sit in the seat of scoffers. But their delight is in the law of the Lord, and on God's law they meditate day and night. They are like trees planted by streams of water, which yield their fruit in its season, and their leaves do not wither. In all that they do, they prosper. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. May God's blessing rest upon the reading and the hearing of these holy words for us this day, for they are the word of God for the people of God. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we are thankful for the words of Scripture contained in the Bible, used for our everyday lives and living. And now, O God, in these moments that we share together, we pray that you will speak to our hearts, our minds, and our spirits. Give us a sense of rest, peace, and comfort from the activities that surround us in our daily lives. Not only today, not only yesterday, but also in the days ahead. O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts, may they be pleasing and acceptable, O God, to you, our rock and our redeemer. For we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Woody Guthrie years ago wrote these words, "California is a garden of Eden, a paradise to live in or see. But believe it or not, you won't find it so hot if you ain't got the do-re-mi." Now, back in the 1930s, California did sound like a Garden of Eden, especially to those Dust Bowl refugees in Woody Guthrie's famous protest song. The dough, of course, is money, and that money is something that the farmers of Kansas and Oklahoma did not have. They dreamed about the green gardens of California, a paradise to see and to live in. Today, it would seem that perhaps the tables have turned. It's California now that is suffering unprecedented drought. The snowpack in the Sierra Mountains, whose annual melting is the main source of fresh water of the state, is smaller than ever in history. And there's real concern that if present trends continue, that much of the Golden State will become a desert. Some in the state of California have called it the most serious drought we've faced in modern times. And whatever the cause, whether it's a long-term climate change or just a long, short period of passing weather patterns, drought is serious business. How many of us in our area were frustrated with gardens because, well, they had too much water in the spring, not enough water in the summers, Well, summer and well, things just seemed to droop and wilt. Well, California's agricultural output, the fruits and vegetables that are produced there dwarf many nations of their output. And the realization is that people all over the world rely on what California produces. And should California dry up, the consequences would be serious, not only for the state's economy, but for the battle against world hunger. Now, drought is not something new. It's something that farmers have considered a curse for as long as we have been farming. The ancient Israelites knew of its experience well. Recall the story of the sons of Jacob begging grain from their unknown brother Joseph in the land of Egypt, who Joseph has become Pharaoh's right-hand man. Imagine how devastating a long drought could be for our country. And so when the author of Psalm chapter 1 sings of trees planted by streams of water which yields fruit in its season and their leaves do not wither. Oh, that's an image of peace and contentment and comfort. Reminds us of that image, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Makes me lie down in green pastures beside still waters. But the psalmist isn't singing and writing about real farmers. Psalm 1, which serves as a sort of preface to this hymnal, as it were, of ancient Israel, this is an encouragement to students of Torah to be diligent in their studies. Diligent in their studies of Torah, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Those first five books, I thought I forgot one. The psalmist says their delight is in the law of the Lord. And on God's law, they meditate day and night. The scriptures tell us that that's how to obtain a rich yield of spiritual fruit. Plant yourself deeply into God's word. Plant yourself deeply in the Word of God beside those streams of life-giving water. One of the great Christian storytellers of modern times, a Jesuit priest from India by the name of Anthony de Mello. One of his many parables is about a woman who was in a coma and slowly dying. As the woman lay in her sickbed, she had a sudden feeling, that she was being taken up into heaven. And there standing, she found herself before the judgment seat of God. She could only see clouds of dark smoke. But then out of the billowing smoke, there comes a voice. Who are you? Now, not knowing what else to say, she answered with the answer that she had most often used throughout her life. Well, I'm the wife of the mayor, she said. I didn't ask you whose wife you were. Who are you? Well, I'm the mother of four children. And then came the answer, I didn't ask you whose mother you were. Who are you? I'm a school teacher. I didn't ask you your profession. Who are you? And so it went, the same question repeated over and over again. But no matter how the woman replied, her answer was unacceptable. Finally, she thought she'd try another answer. I'm a Christian, she said. But that too was not acceptable. I didn't ask what your religion was. Who are you? I'm the one who went to church every week. I always help the poor and the needy. I didn't ask what you did, but who you are. And the parable concludes by the woman being sent back to earth. And soon afterwards, she awakes from her coma and resumes her life. But something is different. Something has changed about her. And from that day forward, this woman was on a journey resolving to discover who she is. And that, the storyteller concludes, makes all the difference. Who are you? Strip away all the layers that we have been carefully building up. Strip away all the labels, all the titles, all the definitions, all of our past, and what's left? What is the essential core of yourself that God sees? So who are you, really? If you've ever built a new home or have done some landscaping, and they bring in new shrubs or bushes or trees, I've always been fascinated by watching them do trees being transported, because they're laying usually in a trailer or a pickup truck, and those branches and leaves are just bouncing all over the place. But the most important part of that plant is well cared for. The roots are wrapped, and a media is put in, and they're put into a ball and watered with moisture. Because we know that all kinds of damage can happen to the trunk or the branches or the leaves. But as long as the roots are intact, as long as those roots are in the right soil at the right depth with the right amount of water, there is hope for recovery and growth. The psalmist's tree is planted by streams of water. Its roots are as deeply as they can possibly be in that place, and when they are thirsty, they can drink from that life-giving water, and even if there is a drought, they will overcome and succeed. Happy are those who plant themselves by these life-giving streams of God's water, to be nurtured by God's words, to be rooted in the scriptures, to have that deep, firm foundation that can only come from Almighty God. My friends, may we discover who we are. And oh, what fruit our lives will yield. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we are thankful for your presence daily in our lives, for your desire to nurture us and to assist us, to enable us to become deeply rooted beside your life-giving streams of water. Oh God, we pray that we will continually seek your nurturing presence. And what awesome fruit may we bear for you. For it's in Christ that we pray. Amen. Our closing hymn is number 529, How Firm a Foundation. Gracious and loving God, we all know the value in a firm foundation in any building that is built. May we daily remember and realize and nurture the firm foundation of our lives in you, that we might be all that you call and have created us to be. For we go in the name of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.